Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. It's a great pleasure to say we are joined by Daniel Greenfield, who is widely covered and followed in his nom de guerre as Sultan Kanish. You can find his columns at Front Page Magazine. He is a Shulman Fellow at the David Horowitz Freedom Center and a man we always relish a chance to talk to on this program. Daniel, welcome back. It's so good to have you. I think for the first time in the new year, so I guess belatedly, Happy New Year. Good to have you with us.
Happy New Year. Hopefully 2018, we're going to continue winning.
Amen. Let me ask you, if I can, speaking of winning, the interview that I just completed with Dr. Alan Bauer concerning a case that is now, I believe, awaiting deliberation by the Supreme Court of the United States, the Sokolov versus PLO. He indicated, Daniel, that the Trump administration has now weighed in support of the Palestinian Authority, which has been convicted of being involved in, numerous terrorist incidents, but this particular case that damaged his son and him, among others, killing several, in fact. What are your thoughts on this and the position, if true, of the Trump administration?
It's unfortunate. In many cases with the Trump administration, we don't really know who's making the decisions, especially on things that operate below the level of President Trump. So there are still sorts of Obama holdovers, and they're just people who are committed to the old way of doing business. And the old way of doing business believes that we must preserve the so-called two-state solution at all costs, which means preserving a terrorist group and preventing any threats to it. In this case, terror victims suing a terrorist group is a threat to the survival of the so-called peace process. Obviously, there's never been a peace process. The terrorist group is actually the threat to peace.
You're, of course, referring to the Palestinian Authority, not that other terrorist group. And I guess that's part of the argument here, too, is that if it's not the Palestinian Authority under Mahmoud Abbas or somebody like him, it will be Hamas that runs the Palestinian community. Are you persuaded by that argument?
For one thing, the Palestinian Authority in Gaza is already controlled by Hamas. In practice, Hamas won an election. And if Hamas won an election because that's the will of the Palestinian people, so-called, again, then what kind of prospects for peace are there? Since that election was won, there have been no actual legitimate elections held in the Palestinian Authority, which means that Abbas and the Palestinian Authority, the PLO, Fatah, whatever you want to call them, concede that de facto Hamas has the popular support.
Yeah, unfortunately, what we've been hearing about a peace plan being cooked up by Jared Kushner, I don't know if it's true, but to the extent that it would in fact create a second state on the high ground of the West Bank, including parts of East Jerusalem, it would unquestionably be a mortal threat to Israel. Let me turn to another topic that you've written about recently, Daniel Greenfield, at Front Page Magazine. It's not unrelated to that topic. The Muslim Brotherhood has, as you know, been active in this country, not just in the Palestinian community and, for that matter, elsewhere in the Middle East. You've written rather provocatively that it seems as though Robert Mueller, the special counsel, may be aiding and abetting the Muslim Brotherhood in what you call their war. I certainly remember some of his willful blindness, is the most charitable expression for it, back when he was director of the FBI, that gave rise to something called the purge of people who were skeptical of these Sharia supremacists. What do you think is going on at the moment in his current capacity as the special counsel?
So there is an interesting subtext to the investigation, to the eavesdropping efforts against President Trump and his associates. And the subtext is that it involves the United Arab Emirates, which has been engaged in its own struggle with Qatar. Now, that people might be reasonably skeptical of the bona fides of the United Arab Emirates, but Qatar has been pretty plainly the sugar daddy of Hamas, of the Muslim Brotherhood, of groups that are even worse than that in some cases. And they've had a great deal of political influence within the previous administration and within the left in the United States. They've become really the voice of that faction, and they've had a close alliance with Iran that has been developing more and more lately. So part of the pretext for investigating some Trump associates has been eavesdropping on foreign actors. So you needed a foreign actor in place, and it wasn't always Russia. In some cases, it was the United Arab Emirates. And now we're seeing this kind of tussle between Qatar and the United Arab Emirates being rolled into the Mueller investigation, which is extremely troubling because Mueller is, first of all, pursuing the same foreign policy goals as Obama did in backing Qatar over other Arab countries that are hostile to the Muslim Brotherhood.
And Qatar is, of course, one of their principal supporters, right?
Yes. Qatar is funding the Muslim Brotherhood. It has backed the Muslim Brotherhood. Through Al Jazeera, it's advocated their policies, both in the Middle East quite effectively, for example, in Egypt and in the United States, for that matter, where they spent a good deal of money on originating Al Jazeera America as a soft power influencer, particularly in Washington, D.C. So it's very troubling to see the Mueller investigation seemingly advance Qatar's foreign policy goals, which are very hostile to the United States.
Amen. One of the other senior officials in the Trump administration's orbit who has seemingly gotten it wrong on this whole Sharia supremacist business is H.R. McMaster, the president's national security advisor. It's been widely reported of late that he is leaving, thank God, perhaps at the end of this month. Some reports indicate that a fellow by the name of Steve Biegun is being championed by some of the same people who brought us H.R. McMaster, specifically Condoleezza Rice and Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis, as the guy to replace McMaster. What do we know about Biegun, and would this be an improvement in your judgment, Daniel Greenfield?
It's overall a very strange situation. On domestic policy, President Trump has gotten in his appointees, people who generally share his point of view, who support his policies, and have begun implementing them with very good results. On foreign policy, that hasn't really been the case. The people who have been put in there have been establishment types. Some of them are still Obama holdovers. Others are people who are more associated with a very pro-democracy and appeasing foreign Islamic allies type of mindset. McMaster certainly was the worst of the bunch. His departure would be something very much that would be very much worth celebrating. But unfortunately, he's really changed the face of the National Security Council, protected Obama holdovers, and put in people into places who should never have been in there. His replacement is certainly something to be anticipated. The person they're replacing him with is more of a Russia guy. Biegun is much more focused in the past on Russia, and that certainly reflects the current political mindset here. He doesn't really seem to have that much of a perspective on Islamic terrorism or really even on the Middle East that I could necessarily find. Of course, you know that has one. Largely, when he thinks of the Middle East, it's in terms of Russia. So potentially, this could be an improvement on McMaster, but considering that he comes through Condoleezza Rice, he comes through that entire establishment, I wouldn't see this as a significant improvement. It's basically the same people still running foreign policy, and these are the people who have the same old, outdated perspectives that we need to promote democracy, that we need to work together with our allies in the local region, and basically appease them, do whatever they want, because that will somehow advance our goals, even though in the process during the Bush administration, I mean, we earlier mentioned Hamas. That's very much on Condoleezza Rice's plate. And, you know, after that, she began this process of advancing democracy. Obama administration ramped it up. That was a complete and utter and total disaster. And nobody associated with that should ever be in a position to dictate foreign policy again.
Amen. Daniel, very quickly, could you just say a word about one of the other things that you've written about recently, which is the rather startling admission by Angela Merkel of Germany that there are, in fact, no-go zones in her country?
The media and political activists on the left have been claiming forever that no-go zones are some sort of myth invented by Islamophobes and right-wing extremists and so on and so forth. And now that number of right-wing extremists and Islamophobes apparently includes Angela Merkel of Germany, who pretty plainly admitted that there are, in fact, no-go zones in Germany and that they should not exist. Now, she's just admitting what everybody with any common sense knows, but it's going to make it very hard going forward to deny the obvious, because, in fact, these no-go zones exist. There are areas where the police, where the authorities dare not venture, where Sharia law and Sharia police reign supreme.
Daniel Greenfield, we have to leave it at that for the moment. Thank you so much. Great to talk with you. I appreciate what you do as Sultan Knish at Front Page Magazine and, of course, also in your capacity as the Shulman Fellow at the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Come back to us again very soon, if you would. Next up, Bill Marshall joins us. We'll talk about somewhat more on this investigation business, and particularly the interesting involvement of Russians with the Hillary Clinton campaign, Fusion GPS, and the Oars. That and more straight ahead.
Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.